Bless the Lord again.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord like he's good.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord like he's faithful.
Bless the Lord.
If you know of God's mercy, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. So that's what we're here to decree and to declare this morning, that God is good.
Yes.
And that his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
The Lord is good.
Yes.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Yes.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you yet again because, Lord, you have opened the heavens above us. We have access to you. Lord God, you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. And Lord God, we pray, O God, now for divine download, Father, that we may know of that which you speak to your church today.
Yes.
God, we say, O God, we stand in the midst, ready to receive.
Yes.
We shall give you the praise and the glory and the honor.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Our reading this morning was from the book. You're going to hear three different names, perhaps. It's, you know, you'll hear Habakkuk. Some pronounce it Habakkuk, and some pronounce it Abaka. I think the American pronunciation is more Abaka. But because I'm ministering to a worldwide audience this morning, you might hear me use all three pronunciations. Habakkuk.
That's okay.
Habakkuk.
Yes.
Habakkuk. All right. So we're ministering to an entire worldwide audience.
Yes. Yes.
But the Lord is greatly to be praised. Amen. And of such, there's no confusion in terms of the name of this mighty prophet of God that God used to minister to the condition of Judah. I want you to think through with me and imagine this with me. Imagine if you are living in a community of people who are supposed to know God. They are supposed to have a relationship with God. And you are living a righteous life, but in the community, people are not. Here's what is happening in the community. Just imagine this for a moment. They're making themselves wealthy by extortion, by still using stolen goods, other illegal means, in our time, scamming and drug dealing. They are building mansions by unjust gains, and they are built them in the hills for security.
Yes.
They are hiding out into the places they feel, if I build my mansion here, I am secure.
Yes.
Since the generation, imagine me in this particular community, that is a lot of bloodshed and violence and injustice in the streets. Imagine also that neighbors are leading other neighbors into drunkenness and immorality. Imagine also that the people all around, they are worshipping lifeless idols with the expectation that these lifeless idols would give guidance to them. They have been a bad influence on our children.
Yes.
They have been a bad influence on in our community. And religious activities are not leading any moral transformation in the society. Nothing is happening with all of the religious activities that we are putting on. It's not making any impact. It's not making any dent. And you have become tired of this thing because day in, day out, every day is the same thing. Same thing. Rinse and repeat. It's the same thing over and over and over. And you have gotten tired of this. You have been asking the Lord for his intervention.
Yes.
And you have not seen God's hand move. Whatever the situation is, you have not seen God's hands move. And you are tired now. And so you go to God again this time and you lay out before him your petition. And you call upon God because that's what we do. That's what the scripture says. After all, that's what God says we are to do. When there's a situation, he says to call upon me and I will hear and I will answer. That's what God's word says we are supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
And so you're calling upon God because you're looking for an answer. That's what Christians do. That's what believers do.
Yes.
In Psalm 17, 16, there are a lot of scriptures where it says that we must call upon God and he will answer us.
Yes, sir.
In Psalm 17 and 16, he says, I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. He says, incline your ear to me. Hear my speech. Your petitioning before God. In Hosea also, it says, in 2:22, it says, it will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord. So we are trained and we are groomed and we are taught in the word to call upon God, and that's what you have been doing.
Yes.
In Hosea 14:8, he says, O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you.
Indeed.
He says, I am a luxurious cypress. From me comes your fruit. God is calling his people to call upon him.
Yes.
In Psalm 20:1, again it says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble.
Yes.
May the name of the Lord, of the God of Jacob, set you securely on high. In Ezekiel 14:7, it says, for any one of the house of Israel or of the immigrants who stay in Israel, who separates himself from me, sets up his idol in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet to inquire of me for himself. He says, I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person.
Yes.
You get in the picture.
Yes.
Psalm 38:15. For I hope in you, O Lord.
Yes.
You will answer, O Lord, my God.
Yes.
Psalm 86:7. In the day of trouble, I shall call upon you,
yes,
for you will answer me.
Yes.
You get in the picture.
Yes.
Psalm 20:6. It says, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven,
yes,
with the saving strength of his right hand.
Yes.
I'm taking some time to paint this picture for us.
Yes.
In Zechariah 10:6, it says, I will strengthen the house of Judah.
Yes.
And I will save the house of Joseph.
Yes.
And I will bring them back.
Yes.
Because I have compassed. I have compassion on them, and they will be as though I had not rejected them.
Amen.
For I, the Lord their God, I am the Lord their God, and I will answer them.
Yes.
Zechariah 13:9 says, and I will bring the third part through the fire.
Yes.
Refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them.
Amen.
I will say they are my people, and they will say the Lord is my God.
Yes.
And then when Joseph went before Pharaoh, he says, it is not me, but God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer concerning his dreams.
Yes.
In Isaiah 58:9, he says, then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. And in Isaiah 30:19, he says, O people in Zion, inhabitants in Jerusalem,
yes,
you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Isaiah 65:24, he says, it will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear.
Yes.
After, so this is what God has said in his word repeatedly.
Yes.
And we have seen a society that needs the intervention of God. It needs God's divine presence to be able to break the shackles and the stronghold of the society.
Yes.
And Habakkuk was in the exact same situation, because this scenario of imagine us going through this,
yes,
is the exact thing, the exact language that is used in chapter 2 that was in the day of Judah.
Yes, sir.
So Habakkuk was crying out to God as well, because he says, God, all of these scriptures inform us that God will answer.
Yes.
And after Habakkuk made this petition, in verses 2 and 4 that Brother Granville read, the Lord answers Habakkuk and tells him, he says this to him, I will do a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. You will not believe it. He says, he answers him and he says, I'm going to do something, though it be told you. You would not be, before you, if though it was told to you, you would not believe it.
Yes.
So the title of this message this morning is Are You Prepared for the Lord's Answer?
Amen.
We call upon him. He says, to call, he will answer. Habakkuk called upon him and he says, hey, I'm going to do something, you won't even believe it. But are you prepared? So are we prepared for God's answer? In Just going through that scripture, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, it says, O Lord, how long will I cry and thou will not hear? The condition got so much to Habakkuk. You can see that it's a continuous thing. This is not, I'm just, not just coming to him for the first time praying. I've been coming to God, beseeching him. So he says, how long am I going to do this?
Yes.
And he starts to almost shift the blame on God. You will not hear. That's what he says. How long will I cry and thou will not hear?
Yes.
He says, even cry out unto thee of violence. And he shifts it back to God, thou, and you will not save. And he goes verse 3, he says, why do you show me? Again, he's shifting the blame on God. You are the one that is showing me iniquity. You are the one that is causing me to behold grief.
Yes.
Because he expects an answer from God.
Yes, sir.
And he says, for spoiling and violence are before me, and they that rise up strife and contention. And he says, therefore the law is slack. The law is of no effect.
Yes.
Because the unruly, the ungodly,
yes.
The lawless, yes. They always seem to be winning and triumphing and breaking the law, and nothing seems to happen.
Yes.
And he says, and judgment never go forth. There's no justice.
Yes.
No justice in our streets.
Yes.
No justice at all. You know, what we have come to learn and to know as justice, he says this is not taking place in his time. And he says, for the wicked does compass around about the righteous. The wicked are being victorious. Therefore, it says, wrong judgment proceeded. This justice that is taking place is wrong. Mm-hmm. And so that was his petition before God. And God says to him, I'm going to show you something that though it be told you, you will not believe. All of us should have a petition. At least one, but we have several petitions before the Lord, even as we came today.
Yes.
There are petitions that we have made over some over a long time.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Some even as recent as last night.
Yes.
Some even as recent as this morning we got up.
Yes.
And we have that petition before God and we're looking for answers.
Yes.
But my question is, are you prepared for the Lord's answer?
Yes.
Because the Lord, his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts.
Amen.
As high as the heavens is above, so is his thoughts are from us. So are we prepared for what the Lord will really say? Because sometimes, because the Lord's justice, it is pure.
Yes.
We deal with justice from an emotional standpoint.
Yes. Yes.
We want it to have it all way, and we want it to have it now.
Yes.
God is long-suffering.
Amen,
full of
sir.
Patience.
Amen.
And he will wait out our situation.
Yes. Yes.
But we want zap him now,
yes,
oh
yes,
God.
Yes,
if the sons of Zebedee, they said, Lord, you wanted to call down fire from heaven.
Yes, yes,
you know, because they wanted justice now.
Yes, sir.
But
yes, sir.
God is long suffering, and I like that about that.
Yes,
about God.
Yes.
Because he waited a long time before my tough head, my rebellious mind,
yes,
could turn to him.
My Lord.
And so he's waiting, he's saying to Habakkuk, he's saying to him, listen, I'm doing a work that you will not believe. Here's what God did. God sent the Babylonians. Now the Babylonians were, imagine this, let's go back to our imaginary scene. We have just described our what the community is. And God sends now, let's imagine there's a more wicked community next door. And God says, I'm sending that more wicked community to come, and I'm going to use them to declare justice in your community. I'm going to use them to bring justice. I'm going to use them to punish you.
Yes.
And it's a more wicked, and Ezekiah, Habakkuk became, that just perplexed him. And he put you and I.
Yes.
If God look upon me and say, listen, you're a sinner, Dean, but I'm sending a more wicked man to punish you.
Yes.
That just doesn't seem fit and right,
yes,
of the God that we know. And that was that's all perplexed that Habakkuk was.
Yes.
And so he was perplexed. And when he saw the truth of condition, the oppression, the violence, the ungodliness, he enters into this dialogue with God.
Yes.
Because the situation was overwhelming him. And he's wondering how God is allowing these people to prosper and escape judgment. And then, God, when God answered, it made him even more perplexed.
Yes.
Have you ever been in any kind of situation where you have been, you're experiencing bitterness and deep anguish, but the Lord seems like he's not responding?
Yes.
Somebody might be crying out to God, whether for a personal situation or for a family situation, and it seems, or for even a national situation, and it seems like God is not answering.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but what I'm witnessing in my time, the two nations that I look to a lot, the United States of America and Israel.
I've
never seen these two nations be so lacking in compassion when they deal with the issues that they're dealing with. This is my God and godly mind, call it that. My earthly mind, my carnal mind is saying, why are these two nations that are so powerful, and forgive me, I'm praying I don't offend anybody, but I'm saying from my, this is not God's mind, it's me. Why is there this lack of compassion in how it deals, in how these two nations are dealing with its affairs right now? And this is one of my petitions before God. Before I knew God as a young man, I used to cry out to God because I used to see the terrible injustice that was taking place in South Africa. I grew up watching the apartheid system, and I was frustrated by it, and I never knew God. And every night I'm going to this God that I don't know. And I'm crying out to him and say, Lord, why is this always happening to black people? Why is it always happening in Africa? Why do I see all of this wickedness and see children dying of starvation and all of this stuff? But I never knew God at the time. But yet still, God puts his compassion in our heart of wanting to see justice being done. Why are so many babies being killed? And it seems like we are powerless to even stop what is happening in our society.
Yes.
Why is there not justice equally dispensed in the halls of our society? Why is this not happening?
Yes.
And so those are some of the bitter anguish of our souls where we're crying out to God.
Oh, my Lord.
And Habakkuk thought God was being indifferent and insensitive. But the Lord was not being indifferent. He was not being insensitive. Or was he idle? God was already working a plan.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you this morning that I want to assure you that God is working out a plan for you too.
Yes.
I want to assure you that God does hear you. Because the psalmist says in Psalm 138, he's concerned about the things that concerns you.
Yes.
He will perfect, he will complete, he will look after your interests. He will perfect the things which concerns you. And God has said, he says, O Lord, endure it forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. So Habakkuk makes these petitions. Two times he went before God, and two times God answers him. The two times he went before God in chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, which we read, and in verse 12 and 17. And both times God answers him. God answers him in chapter 1, verse 5 to 11, and chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. In the first instance, Habakkuk cries out to him about justice. God's answer shocked him, like I tell you. He became more perplexed.
Yes.
God told him he was using a more wicked nation to judge him. I'm a wicked nation. That's a hard pill to swallow. It really is. You're serving God. You're standing before God day and night. You're making petitions. You're observing the wickedness in your community, and you're asking God to help to change your people. And God says, I'm sending another people, more wicked than your people, to deal with your people.
His ways are past finding out, Pastor.
God is sovereign.
Yes.
Don't
yes.
think that you know all there is to know about God.
No, sir.
Not at all.
No, sir.
Would you say this? God is sovereign.
God is sovereign. Yes.
And I don't know everything.
And I don't know everything.
There is to know about God.
There is to know about God.
Say that one more time. God is sovereign.
God is sovereign.
And I don't know everything.
And I don't know everything.
There is to know about God.
There is to know about God.
Because in Corinthians he says, where's the wise? Where's the scribe?
Yes.
Where's the disputer of this world? Has not God made the foolish wisdom of this world?
Yes.
And then he says later on in those chapters, that chapter, He says, but God has chosen the foolish thing of the world.
Yes, yes, sir.
To confound the wise.
Yes. Yes.
God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Mighty. Yes.
The ways of God is different from the ways of man.
It certainly is.
And though it seems like God is doing something that is contrary to who he is.
Yes.
It is not contrary because it's done out of love.
Yes.
Amen. And God is love.
Yes.
Amen. So Habakkuk is in this dialogue with God and he's wrestling with these issues and then be wrestling, being perplexed with what God has said. Appropriately, Habakkuk means wrestler.
Yes.
So he's wrestling with all of these stuff.
Yes.
And my question to you this morning is, what are you wrestling with this morning?
Yes.
I mean, you might be here in church. Mm-hmm. You might be hearing this in church land somewhere. Mm-hmm. But your mind really is not here. Mm. Neither is it on God. What are you wrestling? One songwriter said, cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you.
Yeah.
And so my suggestion to you this morning is to cast that burden right now before the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let it go. Just cast it before him. Because he leave it right there. Because he cares.
Amen.
So a battle question our holy God. The holy God that we, you and I know. This mighty God who cannot look on impurity and cannot look on wickedness and violence and sin.
Yes.
He turned his back upon Jesus, his son, who was bearing our sin on the cross because he can't stand to look upon it.
Yes, sir.
And here he is with this nation. He's bringing a more wicked nation to come to judge this other, judge Judah.
Yes, sir. Yes.
But I like Habakkuk's position. Because he's asking God, he's rightfully asking God, every question that burdens you, don't be afraid to ask God.
God, that's right.
He's not going to look at it as being inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
When you're struggling, ask God.
Yeah.
And so he asked God the question. After all, we just read a long series of scriptures that says, call upon the Lord and he will hear and he will answer.
Yes.
And we're looking for this answer. But my question is, are you prepared for the Lord's answer? That's what I want to ask this morning.
Yes, sir.
So Habakkuk's position. He doesn't want to wrestle with God. He doesn't want to wrestle in dialogue.
No.
He decides, I'm going to take a position away.
Yes.
I'm going to retreat. And so in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, I will stand upon my watch.
Yes.
I'll set me upon the tower,
yes,
and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I will answer when I am reproved.
Yes.
Or he's looking for God to reprove him, to rebuke him again.
Yes. Yes.
He's watching to see what God's answer will be this time.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I want us to pay very careful attention to Habakkuk's position that he has taken. He says, I'm going to stand, watch, wait, and see.
All right.
Look at this order that he has.
Yes.
We know the order that is in Psalm 1, that blessed is a man who walketh not in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners.
Yes.
That order, you know, you walk,
yes,
you sit, you see, and so forth.
Yes.
So this is just an order to Habakkuk's that he mentions here. He's going to stand, he's going to watch, he's going to wait, he's going to see.
Yes.
And listen attentively. He says, wait. Because standing, it means getting in position.
Yes, sir.
Getting in position. Before I go there, I want to just double back on something. God used a more wicked
nation
to judge Judah. Let me bring it to church affairs now. How many times that God uses a more rebellious church member to rebuke us for something that we have done and we don't take it right?
Yeah.
You know, we find it hard. Or God uses what we call a less spiritual person to call out our sins and make us to know that, listen, this is not right.
Boy.
I just take it outside. How many times has God sent an unbeliever to say, I thought you were Christian.
Yes.
So how are you doing this?
Yes.
That's similar to bringing a Let us what we call a more wicked person to bring God's judgment upon us. But we're too high and lofty, are we too high minded that we can't take it. But it's the same kind of a thing. So I'm saying to us now, be careful. When someone rebukes you, if it's right, it's right. And if it's tight, it's tight. You gotta go along with what God says. So you will use whoever he chooses.
Yes.
So that he may, because his purpose is to bring us into a place of where we are as sanctified people before him. So he will correct us whatever way he chooses to correct us. He will use the person of unsound mind that he meets every day and speak to us in a way that makes us to understand that, listen, God is a righteous God.
Yes.
And he's a holy God.
Amen.
So I want us just to reflect just a little, because I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that God uses whatever vessel and tools are necessary to bring his people to a place where we reflect holiness and righteousness. Where the standard of heaven is being acted out, demonstrated upon earth before earthly people.
Yes.
So that's how God is.
Yes.
So Habakkuk takes up this position. And it's a position of, he says, stand. And then he says, watch. It means to listen attentively. When you're before God and before his word, listen attentively.
Yes, sir.
I found myself reading some word last night, and I had to calm myself down. I said, listen, don't go ahead, listen to what the word is saying. Don't go according to what you have read before. Follow the word and let God make fresh revelation to you.
Yes.
Let him give you fresh revelation.
Yes.
So watch this, listen attentively. Wait means just be patient. However long it may take.
Yes, yes. Sir.
Just be patient.
Yes, sir.
And when he says cease, he means observe.
Yes.
This position that Habakkuk takes is, it's an attitude of expectation.
Yes, yes.
It's a position of yielding. I'm yielding to the greater. You know, as John says, I must decrease that he may increase. It's taking a lesser position. It's a position of yielding. I'm surrendering my will and my way to God.
Yes.
And it's a mindset that says, you know and I don't know. Would you say that you know?
You know.
And I don't know.
I don't know.
Repeat after me. God is sovereign.
God is sovereign.
And I don't know.
And I don't know.
Everything.
Everything.
There is to know.
There is to know.
About God.
About God.
Because he's sovereign, right? He's sovereign.
Yes.
So it's a position of expectation. It's a position of yielding to God. Yielding my will and my way. Yielding my thoughts. Or I think justice should be justice should be given out in the nation. It's a mindset to say, I don't know. Because God just bamboozled him completely.
Yes.
With his first answer. And when he explained to him, he was just bamboozled by it. And this position that Habakkuk takes is one of that speaks of the necessity of personal faith. It is necessary to have your own personal faith.
Yes.
And this comes by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
By believing that we are sinners.
Yes.
That believing that God has Jesus died for our sins.
Yes.
And believing that God has raised him from the dead.
Yes.
And that we shall be saved.
Yes, sir.
It is necessary to have a personal faith with God. And Habakkuk had this. And so this is a situation where Habakkuk just didn't know what to do. So what do we do when we do not know what to do? We have a personal faith is what personal faith does, it's an anchor in difficult times.
Yes, sir.
When you have a personal faith with God, somebody might be facing medical crisis or financial crisis or family crisis, but you have to have that personal faith in Christ.
Yes.
So it speaks of the necessity of personal faith.
Yes, sir.
And what do you do when you don't know what to do? Hezekiah painted a picture for us. He says, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When you get to the crossroads in life, look up.
Yes.
Don't look left, right, forward, backward. Just look up.
Yes.
You'll get direction. Look to God.
Yes, sir.
And He will guide you. He'll supply the guidance that we need.
Yes, sir.
So it's necessary to have a personal faith with God. Uh-huh. And then later on, when you look at how Habakkuk continued, it speaks of the triumph of faith, or faith triumphs over situation. Because Habakkuk had to come to the understanding of God's answer for his own life and his own faith.
Yes.
When you see God deals with sin the way He does, it should speak to you concerning your own sin, your own situation, your own condition.
Yes.
And so we must find that personal response that will sustain us when the evil time comes.
Because
Habakkuk had to suffer with those who went through. Because this is the same Babylon that came and overtook Judah and Israel and carried them away captive.
Yes.
Carried them, David, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, all the good boys and the good girls, everybody, carried them away captive.
Yes.
They carried away the things of the house of God.
Yes, sir.
These vessels that were supposed to be sanctified, pure vessels.
Yes.
And so the good suffered with the bad.
Yes,
and yet still, your personal faith is going to anchor you in the midst of when things like this is happening. Somebody bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
And God told Habakkuk, responded the second time, while he was waiting, while he was standing and watching and waiting to see, he said to, thank you, Sister Ophel.
Bless God.
He says to Habakkuk, write the vision down.
Yes.
Make it plain.
Yes.
Because
yes.
it's going to happen. It is sure.
Yes.
And what God is saying to you and I is that my word is sure, is certain.
Yes, sir.
What He speaks is going to happen.
Yes, sir.
There's no way to get around it. And God, He doesn't mumble. God doesn't struggle with His word.
Yes.
What He says, He means it.
Yes.
And when He says it, it will happen.
Yes, sir.
And He wanted to assure Habakkuk that this word is sure.
Yes.
Just like all of my words.
Yes.
And so He says, listen, write it down.
Yes.
That those who read it will run with it.
Yes.
It says, don't tarry, wait for it.
Yes.
It will not tarry, it will surely come to pass. Hallelujah. So God's word is sure.
Yes.
And we got assurance from Peter that says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises.
Yes.
Now, although the book looks at the national situation with Judah, the national crisis, there is a personal side to this.
Yes.
And there are lessons for you and I as individuals.
Yes, sir.
Now, what is God saying to the church? I want to read a few scriptures. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. This is what God is saying to His church in the midst of it. To you and I in the midst of what society, all the things that's going on in our society. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. And here's His word to us and for us today. That's why I ask the question, are you prepared for the Lord's answer? He says, wherefore come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. Here's another word from the Lord for us.
Glory.
Somebody praise His name.
Praise the Lord.
When you look at it, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. Mm-hmm. He says, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is the church that God is looking for.
Yes.
This is whereas God has intervened in so often at times. God is saying to you and I, come out from among them.
Yes.
Be separate. Don't follow the ways of the world. Don't get drawn in so much. Don't get enticed. Don't get seduced by the things of this world. Because I have a greater plan for you. And so He says that He wants to present His church having not having spot or wrinkle. When Habakkuk Lord, all of that, I'm about to conclude that whatever comes, he looks at this deer seemingly climbing this rocky mountain, and he looks at the deer and he says, whatever comes, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet as hinds' feet.
Yes, yes.
There's a game show years ago that it was called Final Answer.
Yes.
And where you had to, you know, you had choices, but you had to make a final answer. And the game show host would ask the question once you have made the answer, but you have made the indication that you have an answer. Is that your final answer? Mm-hmm. God has final answers too.
Yes, sir.
I come across two final answers. Are you prepared for God's answer?
No,
yes, two final answers. Mm-hmm. Well done! Good and faithful servant. I pray that's the answer we hear. But there's another answer that says, depart from me. I knew you not, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's God's final answer.
Yes.
We have the chance, the opportunity while we are yet living and breathing to make sure that we don't miss out and we make our election sure.
Yes. Yes.
But not only God has a final answer, he is also waiting on us to answer.
Yes.
Because God is concerned about my salvation and your salvation.
Yes, sir.
He's concerned about where we will spend eternity.
Yeah.
He says he desires that all men would be saved and none would be lost. He's
mm-hmm.
concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the Lord is also waiting.
Mm. Thank you, Lord.
My question is, do you trust God enough? Do you trust what God has said?
Yes.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Do you trust God no matter what?
Yeah.
God, I can't see my way. But your word says,
yes.
And therefore I'm standing upon your promises.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
God, I'm sick in my body, but your word says, with your stripes, I am healed.
Hallelujah.
God, I don't have enough, but your word says, you will supply all of my needs according to your riches.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes,
yes.
Do you trust God enough?
Yes.
No matter what.
No matter what.
If you go before the firing squad, can you trust God no matter what?
Yes, yes.
Like Stephen says, that he saw the Lord standing on at the right hand of God.
Yes, yes.
Trusting God all the way through.
All the way through, yes.
Because our success in life, we might not know it, but I believe we have been Christians for a while. Our success in life is based upon how we respond to God.
Yes.
God told Habakkuk in these verses, he says, the just shall live by faith.
Yes.
We have to, our lifestyle is one of faith. God speaks, we obey.
Yes.
God speaks, we obey.
Yes.
God says follow, we follow.
Yes.
And therein is our success in life.
Yes.
So we have to get used to following God.
Yes.
You and I as a church, this generation need to take heed, because this same God,
mm-hmm.
this same sovereign God,
yes.
is still sovereign.
Yes.
And his word is still certain.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men
once
to die,
yes.
but after this the judgment.
Yes, sir.
1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?
Yes, sir.
If God is going to judge us like he did Judah, what is going to be the punishment
for them?
Yeah. I don't want to leave you hanging this morning, but I want you to know that God did judge Babylon.
Yes.
And he will likewise judge all wickedness.
Yes. Yes.
So Babylon didn't just went into Judah and devastated it and got away.
No.
Because the greater punishment is still there for them.
Yes, sir.
But God chooses what he needs to, the verses he needs to use.
Yes.
And God's word is sure. Isaiah 40:8 says, as He said the grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Yes.
And forever and ever and ever. Forever means unending. Forever.
Yes.
Forever. And so as you see the injustice in the society, there's a cry which Jeremiah made in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 18 to 19. And I like what the NIV verse, or the NIV version puts it as we close. He says, the hearts of the people cry out to the Lord. You walls of daughter of Zion, let your tears flow like a river day and night. Mm-hmm. Give yourself no relief, mm-hmm. your eyes no rest. Mm-hmm. Arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin.
Yeah.
Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord.
Jesus.
Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at every street corner. And that's the cry, the lamentation that Jeremiah made in the book of Lamentation.
Yes.
He's saying, don't give yourself no rest. Don't let your eyes rest. Cry out for the condition that exists.
Yes.
And God is there waiting for us to cry.
Yes.
But remember this. You might not be ready
for
the answer that he gives.
Yes.
Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's somebody under the sound of my voice. Here now or in the future, that don't know you as Lord and Savior. Never ever thought that, Lord, there is a time of accountability that will come.
Yes.
A time when each of us will have to give an answer for even our very thoughts.
Yes, Lord.
And God, this person have never known that, Lord God, there is a way to address sin in their life.
Yes.
And I say to them this morning that Jesus is the answer. Jesus bled and died for your sin.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
And if you would confess it, your sin this morning.
Yes, he's faithful.
And if you would believe in your heart,
yes.
God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin.
Yes.
And to cleanse you of unrighteousness. Yes. Do not let this time pass. Do not let this opportunity pass before you surrender to him. He says, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion.
Yes.
And God, I pray for this person or these persons that are in our midst, even the ones that are backslidden and not recognizing that you're coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle.
Yes.
The ones struggling in their understanding of all of the wickedness and the violence and the corruption that is in display in our society. And because of that, they're saying there's no God, there's no law, there's no justice. God could not be real because of all these things happening. May you minister to their heart, Holy Spirit,
yes.
that they would understand that your ways are not their ways and your thoughts are not
their
thoughts.
Yes.
May you bring them, oh God Almighty, to bow their knees and to confess this morning.
Yes.
And God, may there be a surrender even among those among us.
Yes.
Oh God Almighty, to acknowledge that, Lord, we don't know everything that there is to know about you.
Yes.
We bless you because you're a sovereign God.
Yes.
We praise you because you're a holy God.
Yes.
We adore you because you're a way maker. We praise you because you are a provider.
Yes, yes.
We praise you because you're clothed in majesty.
Hallelujah.
And you're awesome and you're pure and you're holy.
Hallelujah.
And there's none other. You are all by yourself without an equal.
Yes.
We bless you, Father, for your word this morning and the ministering of your Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you, O God, that it is possible for us to live in an ungodly society,
yes.
and not compromise.
Yes.
God, we thank you, oh God, that Lord God, when this enemy comes in as a flood,
yes.
your spirit will raise up a standard against him.
Yes.
We give you glory and honor and praise. Somebody bless his name.
Praise
somebody
him.
Praise him.
Praise
bless
him.
The Lord.
Praise
bless
him.
The Lord, he's worthy. Bless 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 the Lord, he's worthy. There is none like you, O God. Bless the Lord, he's worthy.